The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
Thank you guys so much for coming this early morning to be part of the service and the 25-year anniversary. I don't have an anniversary sermon, and what I say today is going to be very brief. We have little time, but I hope that it will be in line with what we've been studying and thinking about. And somewhat in line with what we're doing here today. Because the Lord loves you, and you are His ministers. You are. We believe what the Bible says, Tanya, in the priesthood of all believers, all believers. You are kings and priests. You are chosen by God to present a link to the Lord of glory through your life, and an example and a picture of honestly what life can be. It's a heavy responsibility, and if it were just your performance that was necessary, it would be impossible. But we look to a miracle God to come alongside us and help us, and we're going to use an example of a person this morning, just to take a little picture and look in a mirror to see what the Lord wants to do in our lives as individuals. I want to talk about, I called this Alms and the Man. It's based on a Bernard Shaw play that was called Arms and the Man, a little thing off. But Alms and the Man, what I'm going to attempt to say here to you this morning in about the next 10 minutes, is character is a conduit for the Holy Spirit. Character is a conduit for the Holy Spirit. And godly character is not made, and I'll use this phrase over and over, by white knuckling, a legalistic form of religion. It is a statement that the power of the Holy Spirit indwells the believer in Jesus Christ. To be a Christian is to be a little anointed person. That means the oil of joy and gladness. The very person of Jesus lives inside us. We've said it every week that I can remember, but we need to remember it, especially in this moment. At Pentecost, people came from all over the world. There was a divine and perfect timing to that, to shake the world. There were events and moments when a man named Peter and the early disciples had their character so transformed by walking with Jesus and being filled with His Spirit that a revolution began in Jerusalem. And yes, not only a revolution, but persecution. People from all over Jerusalem came to this mighty city, and an impoverished lame man by a gate was healed, and it shook the very foundations of every form of religion. To think that God was not simply a stump or a rock or a beautiful sculpture made with the hands of man, but rather the one that created everything, the one true God, and He could change even the state of a lame man, showed that this person had resonated with the very power of God, that something had happened to Peter, that something had happened to the 12, that something had happened to the 70, that something had happened to the 120 to change them forever. Deacons were appointed. Stephen, one of the greats, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, truly a conduit of character, gave the gospel to his people before he died, telling them they were hard and stiff-necked and being basically ridiculous, and that there was hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they stiffened their resolve to disobey the Lord and covered their ears and stoned him to death. But he was the conduit of conduct. Conduct was his conduit. They saw him and he looked like an angel, it says. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was standing at the right hand of the Father in mute admiration of this man because he was a recipient of grace and knew it. Philip at Samaria goes to one person who was a conduit of character. In my mind, there is no error in the fact that an Ethiopian eunuch who had been through so much, even the saying of eunuch says something to us, but was mighty in spirit. He was a world changer in his country. He's there in a chariot. And because his character is such that he's reading Isaiah while traveling, I mean, most of us would pick up some, you know, Vince Flynn book or something. And here is this man studying Isaiah at the right minute, in the right second, to the glory of God. Philip comes alongside the chariot, told by the Holy Spirit to meet with this man. And this man, who is a conduit of character, receives the Lord and is baptized and shakes the nation of Ethiopia and Africa. Conduit of character. Strategic people. There was a little girl in this church that was a conduit of character. She worked for a certain, we'll say, quasi-governmental authority in place. And her character was such on the job. Her name's Cynthia Tobin. If you're listening, Cynthia, her character was such on the job that they said, "Are there more like you where you come from?" They were referring to you guys, to the King's Chapel. I think five people were hired, and those that wanted to were federally related employees because of one girl's obedience and character on the job before the Lord. She became a turning point. The 10th chapter of Acts is a turning point. What we're going to see is kind of a turnbuckle. The Lord wanted to reach the Jewish people. The gospel was to be preached to the Jews first. They were prepared. They knew the law. That law spoke of the coming of a Messiah. But now what we're going to see is God so loved the world, and he's going to reach into the Gentiles. Those benighted people that oftentimes the Jewish people would have absolutely nothing to do with. And when you read some of the commentators, there was an unspoken hatred for anyone outside of Judaism. Not picking on the Jewish people, they were trying to be faithful to the God they thought they knew and yet had not had his full revelation in Jesus Christ. At Caesarea, Acts 10:1, it says this, "There was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort." Now listen to the description and why he's a conduit of character. "A devout man." That means devoted to the Lord. Wait. He's a Gentile. But he was more than that. It said, "one who feared God." There's our clue. You'll remember that God-fearers were those Jews that, as best we can tell, had come to the place, and many of us are like this, I certainly was, of being sick of their culture's behavior, of being sick and confused by the false idolatry of the people, by the multitude of gods. At some point, the Holy Spirit must have tapped them on the shoulder and whispered in their ear, "Cornelius, this doesn't make any sense." He feared the Lord. He had not been circumcised, or he would have been a proselyte. He would have been becoming a new Jewish person. But this kind of guy generally would go to the synagogue and worship the Lord in his own way. It says here he was first of all a devout man, and secondly, as we discussed last week, he feared God. He was concerned about his character. See, not only was the nature of the culture he was living in the Gentile culture foul and corrupt and nasty, also, the idea of this multiplicity of gods was not only confusing, he felt it was wrong. And the simplicity of the Jewish law, its truthfulness, the things that resonated with him, and also the idea that there was one creator God just apparently made sense to this conduit. And it said, all his household feared the Lord as well. His lifestyle spoke to the people that served him. Many A manager is not applauded when he walks into the office. They're not doing so well in terms of loving and caring for their and leading their families. I'll go off here just for a moment. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. When we speak of male leadership and we have elders up here, the reason they're here is because they're servants. They're servants in their home. 80% of the time, if the wife asks them to do something or to help them, that's what they do. In a certain sense, they lead the home. In another sense, they protect and provide, and when things get tough and the bad guy comes to the door, they take a stand. That's what we're made for, and that's what you're made for. And you're also, gentlemen, made for nobility. That's what this guy was. He was a centurion.
Long story short, he was a man who overseed men. This is part of his character. His household respected him, and also the way he lived his life was respectable. He gave alms. If he saw poor people, his heart went out to them. I don't know why he was so well off. He commanded, let's just say, roughly 100 people, 60 to 100 as a centurion. He was, it said, a command sergeant major in the British Army. They would use that equivalent. My father was a colonel in the Marine Corps. One time he went to see a sergeant major. He took us to his house. And when my father, who was a notable person in that particular military community, came to his sergeant major's house, you could feel, I'm his son, I'm watching this, the respect he had for that man above many an officer, because that man's gifting was so profound. His character was such that he had gotten to an exalted position. And those of you, I don't see Gary here this morning, I think he was a command sergeant major. These guys are sharp. And this particular one was not only sharp, he was devout. And not only devout, devout to the degree that his faith had feet. He took the substance that he had made, however he made it, and gave it to those who were needy. Tithes, missions, and offerings. That was part of his heart. It said he helped change the Jewish people. He was known throughout, in a sense, the Jewish world of that particular geography. A devout man who feared God with all his household and gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. He's a man who knew what courage and loyalty were. Let me read you one thing and we'll conclude. It's the beginning of a longer story. Centurions are desired, it was said by a historian of this epoch, not to be overbold and reckless so much as good leaders of steady and prudent mind, not prone to take the offensive to start fighting wantonly. This is a good thing for a cop. My son's a cop. I'm a former law enforcement officer. I thank God for those men, just saying. There are bad cops, no question about it, but not many in my experience. And I thank God for them every day, period. This guy, it says that he was a man of, these guys were men of steady and prudent minds, not prone to take the offensive to start fighting wantonly, but able when overwhelmed and hard pressed to stand fast and die at their posts. He knew what courage and loyalty were. And Jesus Christ, the end of the story we'll jump to, is going to come to him through the person of the Apostle Peter and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come for a first time in this human history to a Gentile, to someone who is not Jewish, and start to open wide an effectual sphere of ministry that multitudes might come in. And the conclusion of what I want to say is he was a prepared vessel. It's as if the Lord searched for some antenna. You, sir, or you, ma'am, or you, ma'am, some antenna to resonate with them. You may think you're small in your eyes, but if Jesus Christ lands on you with his power because he loves and respects you, he will do a mighty work through you. I think that's part of the message here. The alms, the oblation, the character goodness, the careful management, the willing to stand up and die if necessary in the cause of Italy. And more than that, to stand and deliver for the cause of Christ. That was Cornelius's bottom line. Let's bow our heads to pray. Oh Lord, that we might be vessels, golden vessels, fit for your use. Bless this congregation and let them see the vision and part of your plan that is in their life. Make them conduits of your power and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.